Thank you so much, Brother Chambers. And I would like to take this opportunity to express my very deep thanksgiving to a number of people. First of all, I would like to express my love and thanks to my wonderful wife, Jean. And I'd also like to say thanks for the daughters and daughter-in-law and my sons that are here today to pray for me. Special thanks to Brother McFarland, our General Secretary Treasurer, and our two assistants, Brother Beckton, Brother Kilgore, to the General Board, and to all the very, very special people who have been so kind to me through this past year. In the past several months, of course, I have sat in the chair at headquarters that was once occupied by Brothers Goss, Morgan, Chambers. When we sat in Brother Chambers' chair, it had been used for so many years, there was a groove worn in it. And the first time I sat in it, somebody asked me how I was doing. I said, I hadn't gotten in the groove yet. But I certainly have discovered a whole lot about what the general superintendent means, and I always did appreciate Brother Chambers heretofore, but I think I have a greater appreciation for him now than ever before. There's something about taking a man's place that makes you understand what his responsibilities are. And I thank you, Brother Chambers. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that some 40 years ago when I was dying in Bellevue Hospital, New York, of far advanced tuberculosis, he reached down and touched me with a mighty healing. They wrote the healing up in a medical digest. It was written by Dr. Leach. They told about the approaches they had made to the condition that was existing and said that all the approaches they had used, which included pneumothorax, which at that time was perhaps the most specific thing that they used for the combating of TB, they would have used thoracoplasty surgery and cutting out the ribs and the lung area, but I was too weak. And then in the most remarkable fashion, God reached into that hospital room. I'd gone from 185 pounds to 105 pounds. They said it wasn't long that I would be passing away. I'll never forget my dad's statement. He said, "Well, Jonah, it's in your hands now." I said, "Jonah?" He said, "You know that you're fighting against the Lord and against His will. You know, you can't fool a good old dad." He'd been watching me with that struggle for a long time. I was trying to fulfill some ambitions, and he saw that I was trying to do them, but there was a call of God. I thank God that the Lord had mercy on me. Has He had mercy on you today? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for His mercies. And I thank God for the wonderful presence of the Lord that has been my enjoyment through these years. And when you hitch your wagon to the star called Jesus Christ and you try to do your best to serve Him, there's no telling where you'll go, because He's a great God. He's a great God. And today I want the prayers of this great audience. I do want to preach to you. I want to preach to you. In the name of the Lord, I want to preach to you. I've been enjoying the preaching we've been hearing in this meeting. I watched that young brother Curtis Spears the other night, and I knew that he struggled in his own thinking because of the crowd before him and his first time at conference. That's not an easy task for a young man, but the Lord put that hand on him, and he came through mightily. And Brother John Godere last night, he poured his heart out to this audience. And we want to hear from the Lord. Do you want to hear from the Lord? We need to hear from the Lord in these very awesome days. I'm going to read to you from the first book of 1 Corinthians, and it's a statement by the apostle. It has to do with the church. I'd like for you to know I'm going to speak on the subject and concerns the church. Who are we? Where are we? And where are we going? Who are we? Where are we in prophetic time? And where are we going? Let me read to you from the first few verses of the first epistle of Corinthians. First chapter, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all the utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the grace of God that is so very wonderful in our lives, for what you've done for all of us. We can never repay you. If we spent the rest of our time thanking you, we could never praise you for all that you've done for us. How great thou art and how great you are to be praised. We thank you for it. We praise you for your goodness and your mercies. And we thank you for your tenderness in our lives. Now speak to us today. Your word is precious to us. Your truth is the very foundation upon which we anchor our whole present and future. We can't go without your presence. We can't fulfill anything unless you enable us with your presence and leadership. And we're asking for it today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your great hand be upon us. Hallelujah. Let your great hand be upon us today. Fill this hall with the glory of God. Oh, let it flow. Praise God. Let it flow like a mighty river over our hearts today. And we'll praise you and honor you because you're worthy to receive our praise. In Jesus' precious name, in Jesus' precious name, in Jesus' precious name, amen, amen, and you may be seated. I would also like to thank all the fine people of Calvary Tabernacle Church who have been so kind through this past year. I appreciate them very much. Many of them are in the audience today, and they are great, beautiful, wonderful people. To the word of the Lord. As you notice, when Paul addresses the church at Corinth, he addresses it in a very specific manner. He calls them saints. you heard as I read, he addressed them to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And that is a specific that I think belongs to the church. I know that there is a church body that dignifies certain names of certain individuals who have lived through years and apparently have contributed or have been outstanding in their area of their church life. They place them in a category of saints. They give them sainthood. But if I understand this book correctly, everybody that is born into the kingdom of God becomes a saint of God if they will follow the Lord intensely. In another statement to the church at Corinth, and I think what he wrote to the church at Corinth would also include the church of all time, he wrote to them and said that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. He was pointing out to us that our enrichment came from the presence of the Lord. I believe God enriches the church. Finally, I want you to notice that in relationship to Paul's writing, he identifies the future that has to do with the church by telling them that the real future for the church is that they shall be confirmed blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we have some very specific things that are pointed out to us that relates to the Church of the Living God. One of the things that I think is very important for us to observe, I feel that sometimes the church forgets its status spiritually. We forget who we are. I hope I can make this plain to you today. I don't want to give you the strange opinion that as we preach here today, that we are boasting about our position. Ours is not a place of arrogance. Ours is not a place of pride. Ours is a place of praise. We need to praise God for what he made us.
Yes.
It is he that has made us what we are. We live in a world that is harassing us almost constantly by temptations. The church that lives in the present world is constantly assailed by the numerous temptations that are part of the human existence. I don't think you can ignore the fact that while we walk through the world, we are constantly set upon by strange spirits, by customs and traditions, and oftentimes by the opinions of men. And while we fight this maze and this complex strangeness of the spirits that exist in the world, it's difficult for us sometimes to keep on course.
Right.
That's why it's vital for us always to stop and think, just who are we? Who are we? When we consider the fact that we are the church, we're marked by a peculiarity.
Yes.
If there's any people that should stand out different than anybody else in the kind of world we live in, it should be the Church of the Living God. We should be actually, as Paul said, sanctified, set aside. Praise God.
Yes.
There's great meaning in that. That means that the church should be able to be identified wherever it's located. Now, you know I'm not talking about the building now. I'm not talking about the building of mortar and iron and steel. I'm talking about that mystical body that God has placed in this world and infused with His Spirit and anointed and touched and given His name to it.
Yes.
So that in this world, that church should shine and shine brightly. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You see, we are not to stand with head held high from the standpoint of our awesome position in the Son of God's righteousness. But strange as it may seem, the church is to walk through the world in a sense of humility because it remembers what it once was and where God brought it from.
Yes.
All of us were brought from a horrible place. There's nobody in this audience or on this platform today that can brag about what they were before the Lord found them. If you were anything, you laid it all down in order that you might win that something that God had arranged for you. I like what the Apostle Paul had to say about it. He said that as far as he was concerned, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was blameless. You couldn't put a finger on his religious life. But then Paul went on to say, I count all of that. I count all of that as nothing. I have one thought in mind. I want to win Christ. And when he talks about winning Christ, I want to put him on. I want to be like him. I want to have every attribute that he expresses completely expressed to my own life and to my own being. He went so far as to say, I'd like to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Yes. Why would a man want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings? Suffering is not something we seek after. Suffering is something that we try to avoid. But Paul knew that there was something mighty powerful in the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that out of that suffering, there was coming that full orb perfection of the beauty, of the power, of the presence of God. And he wanted to know him in the power of that suffering.
Oh, glory.
In the fellowship of that suffering.
Yes.
He wanted to have the feelings of that feeling so that when he stood out, he could stand out like a beautiful testimony of the greatness of God delivered by all the powers that exist in a world that he lived in.
Glory.
If you know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, this world has no charms for you. You have been lifted out of it, and you've been delivered from it,
yes,
and you have been given a glorious crown because you have found out something. That this world is nothing, but that world to come is everything.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory. I'd like to know him in the power of his resurrection, said Paul. He knew something about that resurrection. We know him in the power of his resurrection to a point. I want to know him in a greater sense of the power of his resurrection. There's something that beats in my soul today. I wonder sometimes what it is. Human being that I am, walking the streets of time. I wonder what is this something that motivates me and moves me and says, you pass this by because this doesn't belong to a child of God. I wonder what that strange thing in me that says you can't belong to this group because it's not part of you. You're destined for something bigger and greater.
Yes.
I think of what that thing in me compels and propels me to do. Sometimes when I'm attracted by something with human eyes, there's something in me that says, no, 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 that doesn't belong to you. You're sanctified. You're blood bought. You're blood washed. You're ready for something bigger and greater than that. Don't get involved in it.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
That something is that power of resurrection. I feel it even as I stand in this pulpit today. I can hardly hold my feet on the ground. I can hardly hold my sensibilities under control from the standpoint of the inspiration that I feel coming from the flow of the power of the waters, living waters, coming from the very heart of God. Oh, friend, there's something in the church.
Glory! Glory! Hallelujah.
Praise. Something in the church. You ask us, and we ask the question, who are we? And many times we use the word church so glibly. Well, the church, the word church came from a word, ecclesia. And that word means the called out. Yes. The called out. And that's meaningful. It has a vast meaning. It's not just something that we talk about every once in a while, preach about from the platform occasionally. Every child of God in this place needs to know that you're called out.
Glory.
Every preacher that handles the Word of God needs to know you're called out.
Glory.
You're called out from tradition. You're called out from unrighteousness. You're called out from the bondage of this world. You were set free by the power of the living God.
Yeah.
You're not bound to this world.
No.
You're called out.
Glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
Read for me, Timothy Creel, from 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 9th through the 10th verses. And you're familiar with this, but I want you to hear it. This is who you are.
But ye are a chosen generation.
A chosen generation.
A royal priesthood.
A royal priesthood.
And holy nation.
And holy nation.
A peculiar people.
A peculiar people.
That you should show forth the praises.
That you might show forth the praises.
Of him.
Of him.
Who hath called you.
Who hath called you.
Out of darkness.
Out of darkness.
Into the marvelous light.
Hallelujah. Glory. Praise him right now. Call out of darkness into this marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want you to know where he got us from.
Oh, hallelujah.
You may think you were something before you found him. You were nothing.
No.
I want you to hear what the apostle tells us we were.
Which in time past,
were not a people.
You were not a people.
What are now the people of God?
You are now people of God.
Oh, hallelujah. One time you were not a people. You were nothing.
Hallelujah.
You didn't have a thing.
No.
All you had was the tawdry little bracelets, trinkets that this world has to give. But now he has called you out of darkness into marvelous light.
Woo!
You are not a people, but now you are people called by his beautiful name. Oh, hallelujah. Called by the name of the Lord. The ecclesia called out. Oh, friend, you look at the church today and you say, it's just another little something on the corner of some place in some city. No, no, no. It's God's investment.
Yeah.
It's God's people.
Yes.
It's God's redeemed people.
Yes, yes.
He called them out.
Glory.
Every culture. Take a look at this platform today. He called them out from every kind of denominational structure. He called them out from every dead condition that would destroy the soul of man. And he put life in them.
Yes, hallelujah.
And I want you to notice how he emphasizes it. A chosen generation. You're something special.
Yeah.
You were chosen.
Yeah.
You're a royal priesthood.
Glory.
That's why I say it's hard for us to keep our feet on the ground. We still got to keep our feet on the ground. We're the child of a king walking through this world, a royal priesthood. Glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
And you are a holy
nation.
Glory.
My. Somebody said today, here you are, 25 nations representing all the parts of the world. Oh, yes.
But we are one nation.
Yeah.
Undivided.
Woo.
Indivisible. Under God.
Yeah.
Our banner is the holy banner with the name of the Lord written all over it. Oh, yes,
woo,
sir. The name of the Lord is our watchtower.
My. Praise God.
My. You want to know who we are with the church?
Yeah.
Call now.
Glory.
Yeah. We're not only the church, we're the bride. We're the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
We're that special somebody that he's coming back to get one of these days.
Yeah.
He's going to take us home. He told us, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that you may be also. I want to know what the Lord's going to build for his bride. He's building something for that bride.
Yeah.
If you think that some bridegroom loves their wife, I want you to know we've got a bridegroom that's got a place for us we can never even imagine. Paul got a little look at something. He said he came back to tell the world, I can't even tell you in a tongue that man could use. If I use the words, they'd be actually illegal.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what I saw. But what I saw has made a strange kind of difference in me.
Woo.
I used to be upset when I had trouble.
Yeah.
I used to be upset when I had tribulation.
Yeah.
He said, now I glory in tribulation.
Yeah.
Now I glory in trials. Now I glory in adversity.
Yeah.
Why do you glory in tribulation? Why do you glory in adversity? I've seen a city. I've been somewhere. And I'm going to that place that God has prepared for me.
Ooh.
Oh, hallelujah.
The
bride. Glory. Everybody say the bride.
The bride.
Say the bride.
The bride.
There's some pretenders to that.
Yes, it is.
There are some pretenders to that, friend. I want you to know the pretenders like to come along and identify themselves. I'd like for you to read for me out of the book of Revelation, Brother Timothy Creel, and I want you to read it emphatically.
Seventeen and four.
All right. Emphatically, Brother Timothy Creel. And the woman was arrayed in purple. The woman was arrayed in purple. And scarlet color. Scarlet attire. And decked with gold.
Decked with gold.
And precious stone.
Precious stone.
And pearl.
And pearl.
Having a golden cup.
Having a golden cup.
In her hand full of abomination.
In her hand full of abomination.
I want you to know she was decked up. That's a pretender.
Yeah.
That's a pretender.
Yeah.
That's what she looks like.
Right.
You sit here today and you wonder why the preacher preached like he did last night.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want to be a pretender.
Yeah.
He wants to be a contender.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be a pretender.
Glory.
No way we want to be a pretender. No way we want to be mixed up in the kind of ornamentation that the world has to offer.
Oh.
What was she doing?
And filthiness.
Yes.
Of her fornication.
Filthiness of a fornication.
And upon her forehead was a name written.
There was a name written.
Mystery.
Mystery.
Babylon the Great.
Babylon the Great.
The mother of
harlots. And harlots.
And abominations of the earth.
And abominations of the earth. And if you look at her, she was riding a beast. And she was hooked up with what we know to be the Babylonian system that the world has to offer. That's not the church, friend, you're looking at there. That's a pretender. That's a pretender. She may look like the church in the eyes of the world, but when God takes a look at her, he sees something altogether different. He sees something vastly different. She is a pretender.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. I want you to get the picture of what the church looks like.
Yeah.
Vastly different. She doesn't come with this auspicious air.
No.
She doesn't come with this so-called greatness of grandeur.
No.
She doesn't come on the scene decked out with her golden attire.
No.
She just has a simplicity about her. But the simplicity is the very touch of God upon her. Read it to us, Timothy Creel. Read it emphatically.
Let us be glad in God.
Now you're reading.
Let us what?
And rejoice.
And rejoice.
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 Woo! Praise God. Now you're reading. And give honor.
Give honor.
To him.
To him.
To him.
To him.
To him.
Yes, sir.
For the marriage.
The marriage.
Of the Lamb is come.
The marriage of the Lamb has come.
And his wife.
And his wife.
Woo!
Have made.
And made.
Herself.
Herself.
Ready.
The wife has made herself ready.
Yes, sir.
Made herself ready. What does she look like? What does she look like? What does she look like?
Mama.
Mama. And to her was granted. That she should be arrayed.
That she should be arrayed.
In fine
linen.
Oh, yes. Ah. In fine linen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Woo!
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah,
woo!
Hallelujah. Read on.
In fine linen.
Fine linen.
Clean
and white
for the fine linen,
for the fine linen
is the right,
is the righteousness
of the sun.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, praise God. Take a look at that bride again, will you?
Woo.
The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Yes.
Clean and white.
Yes.
There's no gold there.
No.
There's no crown there.
No.
Crown of gold. There's no filthiness of abomination.
No.
There's no mix up with the world. She is just plain, simple, clean, pure, white, holy. Oh, I want in that bride. I want in that bride. Oh, God. We're the redeemed. We're the redeemed. Just think about it today. We're the redeemed. When he bought us, he didn't buy us with the paltry silver and gold that the world has. You read about Peter and John coming by that man at the gate, beautiful.
Yeah.
There's something very powerful in what happens there.
Yeah.
There's something just absolutely stupendous. Silver and gold have we none.
Oh, God. Oh, my.
What is that saying to the church? It's saying that the church is not dependent on silver and gold for its existence.
Uh-huh.
Really, it's not.
That's it.
Really,
that's
it's not.
That's it.
It's a medium that we use in servitude for the matter of the outreach that we can have for the sake of sending the gospel into the world, which God has put us in,
right,
to evangelize.
ours.
Yeah.
It's not ours to hoard and to hold.
No.
It's ours to give and to send forth.
That's it.
When we get to hoarding it, we are diminishing our spiritual power.
Right.
We're diminishing something that's vital with us. When we get interested in it because it's an objective of our desire, then we have found out that we're losing something that may mean something very definite for the welfare of the whole world in which we live. When the church gets wound up with money, it's losing its sense of the beautiful calling that God has given us in this world. And that's why we are not bought with silver and gold. And that's why Simon Peter said, silver and gold have I none.
But
such as I have,
unto thee
give I thee.
In the name of Jesus,
rise and walk.
Woo!
Hallelujah. My God,
that's who we are.
That's it.
That's who we are.
My God.
We forget who we are.
Yeah.
Get pound up in the kind of world you live, and you lose all the sweetness of what God has given you.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about it. Read to us. Where are you reading from, Timothy?
1 Corinthians 6.
That's all right.
What?
Read.
Know you not?
Yeah.
That your body is the temple.
Yeah.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Which is in you.
Woo!
Yes, sir. Which you have of God.
Yeah.
And you're not your own.
You're not your own.
I want you to
say that again. Say that. Get back there. Say that again.
You are not your own.
You're not your own.
You're not your own.
You don't belong to yourself.
You're not your own.
That's right.
Oh, God. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't belong to yourself anymore.
Yeah.
There's another will for you.
That's it.
There's another plan for you.
Hallelujah.
There's another arrangement for you.
Hallelujah.
You can't plan your own little personal vendetta.
No.
There's something else with you.
That's right.
You've come through Gethsemane.
That's it.
You've come through the cross. You come through the grave.
Yes.
You're not your own.
No.
You're bought with a price.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Therefore, glorify God.
All right.
In your body.
In your body.
And in your
head. In your spirit.
Which are God.
Belongs to God.
Your body. Your spirit. Belongs to God. Why? You're redeemed. You're redeemed. Ooh.
You cannot, in any sense of the word,
say I belong to myself.
No, no.
Can't do it.
No,
can't say I am of my own arrangement and my own planning. I'm an independent.
You are not.
No.
You're one of the most dependent people that ever lived.
Right. Who bought you?
Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah.
Who shed his blood for you?
Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah.
Who gave his life for you?
Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Who did you who do you belong to?
Jesus.
What?
Yes, sir. You belong to Jesus.
Oh, yes. That's who you belong to, my friend. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
Redeemed.
That's who you are.
Oh, God.
You're as misplaced in this kind of a world as anything that was ever placed here.
That's it. My
That man that wrote that song who said, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up far beyond the blue." Ah, he was telling us something.
Hallelujah.
I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Why? Redeemed.
Yes.
You're the temple of God.
Yes.
Changed by his power.
Yes.
Delivered by his grace.
Glory.
Brought out from among them.
Hallelujah.
The redeemed.
My.
Oh,
God.
I tell you what. When you're redeemed, there's something special about you. Revelation 3, 8, and 10. I want you to notice Revelation 3 and 8. I want you to see something about this redeemed group. You know, here is where I want to establish something about who we are.
Yeah.
We don't understand sometimes the vitality that is coursing through this body.
That's it.
I wish we could understand it. I wish we could comprehend it. We're almost too finite.
Oh,
we're
God.
Almost too carnal.
Oh,
every once in a while, we get caught away in a spiritual sensitivity, and God reawakens all the sensitivity of our soul to the greatness of the majesty of the power that has been invested in us as a people. But I want you to notice in this Revelation 3 and 8, you are the church of Philadelphia.
That's it.
Yes. Why? I know thy work. I know your works.
Behold,
I have set before thee, I set before you
an open door.
Now hold that a minute, Timothy Creel. I want you to hold that just a minute for me, if you will. I set the whole before you an open door. What have you set before us, Lord? I believe he set before us an open door in the world. Now that's basic. That's gospel.
Yeah.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every preacher.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said.
Glory.
That's the church's challenge. That's the church's commission for time immemorial. Generations do not change it. That is strong today as the day it was uttered.
Right.
It has never lost its meaning. It has never lost its practice. It has never lost its responsibility.
Right.
We are commissioned to carry the gospel to every creature of our day.
Hallelujah.
And we have that open door.
Glory.
But that's not the end of that open door. That open door is incumbent upon the open door here. I've got an open door. And when this word sinks into the mess of its moral depravity that is coming upon it, I'll just take you out and put you through that open door.
Oh, hallelujah!
Glory! Glory! Why do we have an open door? No man can shut it!
Ah,
I like that! No hierarchy can shut it!
No!
No political system can shut it!
No!
No power of the bamboo curtain can shut it.
No.
No iron curtain can shut it.
No.
Try it if you want to sometime. Get a Saul of Tarsus commission. See if you can hold back the church. Nothing living can hold back the church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Nothing can hold back the church. We're an insurmountable, victorious, ever-powerful, living vitality that God has given, a power that will never die.
Hallelujah!
Glory!
Oh, my God,
man.
My God.
You get hold of this thing, and you think maybe you're a little crazy thinking about it. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Get to thinking you're a little crazy thinking about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It got hold of me the other day, and I thought, what in the world? Can we match up to what God has given us?
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Why, though, did he give this motley group?
My.
The strange group.
That's it.
This diversified group.
Yeah.
And when I talk about diversification, I'm not talking about diversification of talent.
I'm talking about the many nasty places where you came from.
Yeah. Sure.
If you were nasty and you were so-called reputable, you were nastier.
Yeah.
And you have to have a double dose of the blessing of God so he can wash some of that stench out of your system.
I yeah. like that. I really like that.
Why did he call us? Why did he set that open door for us? And no man can shut it, but thou hast a little strength.
You've got a little strength. Turn around to somebody and say, we've got little strength.
We've got little strength.
Little strength. Just a little strength. But now here's the reason why I set that open door before you.
Read. And has kept my word.
You have kept my word.
Yes. Yes. You have kept my word.
Glory.
And what else have you done?
And
have
not
denied my name.
Have not denied my name.
I want you to know I don't know any other church that has done that.
No, that's it. That's it.
I don't know, David Gray, any other church that's done that.
That's it.
The name that he's talking about not denying is the name of Jesus.
Right.
I don't know any other church that has not denied his name.
Right.
I know churches who say that that name doesn't mean much. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's right.
I want you to know that's the highest name in heaven and in earth.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want you to know that's the highest name under the earth.
Right.
Highest name in heaven. Take Elohim. Take El Shaddai. Take Jehovah with its compound attributes. Put them all together. There's no name like J-E-S-U-S.
Hallelujah.
Elohim is wrapped up in it. El Shaddai is wrapped up in it. Jehovah is wrapped up in it. He's a very present help in time of need. He's our elder brother. He's our Savior Redeemer. He's the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the highest name in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Woo!
My.
And I'll set before you an open door because you have not denied my name and you've kept my word. Oh, how I appreciate that name.
Oh, my God.
How many appreciate that name?
Yes.
There's promises to that church. Read that 10th verse, Brother Timothy.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience.
You've kept the word of my patience through all of your struggles and your troubles and your trials. You've kept the word of my patience. I'm going to do something for you.
I also will keep faith.
I'm going to keep you.
From the hour of temptation.
From the hour of temptation.
Which will come upon all the world.
Which is going to come upon all the world.
The five men that dwell upon the earth.
Five men that dwell upon the face of the earth. I'm going to keep you from that hour.
My God.
Why? Because you have kept my word and not denied my name.
I don't know any other church that fits but this church.
Well, I tell you, Brother Erson, you're boasting. Now, no, I'm not boasting. I'm telling you what I know. I don't know anybody that loves the Word of God like this church loves it.
I don't know anybody that loves that name like we love that name.
I don't know anybody. Tell me if you know somebody.
My.
I don't know any. Glory. Tell me if you know somebody. It's got to fit. And it fits.
That's it.
An open door. An open door.
Woo.
You haven't denied my name.
Glory.
You've kept my word.
Yeah.
You've also kept the word of my patience.
Yeah.
The word of my patience was simply this. Simply this. Be ye patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I know that you want me to come. And when you fall in love with the Lord, you want him to come.
Yeah.
But you're patient. You're waiting. I'll tell you what you're waiting for. What are you waiting for, Lord? What are you waiting for, Lord? I'm waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. I'm waiting for the gathering in. I'm waiting for the coming together. And when they come together, I'm going to take that church out of this world. But I want you to keep on, keep it on, right in the middle of it all. Because I want you to do your job.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.
Oh, go to Revelation 5. My goodness, I hope I get through here this afternoon. And they sang a new song.
They sang a new song.
Saying, thou art worthy to take the book.
You're worthy to take the book
and open the seals thereof.
Open the seals thereof.
For thou wast slain, hath redeemed us to God.
Hath redeemed us to God.
By thy blood.
By thy blood.
By thy blood.
By thy blood.
Out of every kindred.
Out of every kindred.
And tongue.
And tongue.
And people.
And people.
And nation.
And nation.
And has made us unto our God.
Our God.
Woo.
Yes. A king then.
King and priest. King and priest. And we shall reign.
We shall reign.
And we. That's us. We. That's us. We. Shall reign.
Shall reign.
On the earth.
Let's praise God.
Hallelujah! All right. My God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let me go on here. Let me go on. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. I want you to know, friend, God put this church in this world to be a light. He didn't confine you to the city of St. Louis. He didn't confine you to the city of Kansas City.
No.
He didn't confine you to Los Angeles, California. He didn't just say, you're a part of New York City. He said, ye are the light of the world. The church is the light of the world. I don't care how big the world is. It's the light of the world. The Lord knew how big this world was.
Certainly.
He made it.
Right.
He knew its circumference.
Right.
He knew its size.
Right.
He knew its dimensions.
Yeah.
Stand on the circle of this earth.
Yeah.
And if he said you're the light of the world, he wasn't just talking to us to pass time. He was telling us that's who you are.
Yeah. My God, my God.
He said you're the salt of the earth. Not of Indianapolis, not of Louisville, Kentucky, not of Houston, Texas. You're the soul of the earth. The world is our field. The earth is our preaching mission. We don't stop at any place for the schism. The whole wide world is waiting for us. Where are we?
Okay. Hallelujah.
I can't believe what I heard a young woman say one day to me, and it really set me almost into a feeling of just what in the world have we been doing anyhow. She had been lost into the depths of the sins that this world will attract the youth with. She had been broken by the ravages of it, her character torn, destroyed. The beauty of her own personal appearance had been marred by the powers of sin.
Yes.
But she found the Lord. And while I was talking to her about the fact that she was now a redeemed child of God, she said, but where were you 10 years ago?
before I got into this mess that I got into.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
You could have saved me from so much.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh,
you could have kept me from so much. I was looking into the face of a woman who was being used at that time prior to salvation by the world for their abuse, for their sexual indulgence.
Oh.
And she had torn everything that was real and dear to her, lost her family. It was gone. The things that really mean anything to us in life had been torn by the terrible onslaught of hell. That's why we are in the earth.
Oh, God.
We've got to reach them. Somehow we've got to reach them. That's why we came to you yesterday with that kind of our representation. We've got to reach them. We've got more than we've ever had. Are we going to sit down now and say, let's just sort of sit here and absorb all that we have and enjoy all that we've been given? God forbid, what a tragedy that will be. Instead of Philadelphia, we become Laodicea.
Right.
It's as easy to be Laodicea. In just a moment of time, there's a fine line. There's a fine line between ease and Zion and the urgency of the need of the hour. There's a fine line between the matter of the mission of the church and the attraction of the world. There's a fine line between the missionary vision of a people and the so-called applause that the world has given us. They're telling us now, you're the fastest growing church. They're telling us now, you are the kind of people that were like the early Methodists. I got news for you. We're not like the early Methodists. The early Methodists didn't have that name.
No. No. Right.
That name makes a difference.
Yes, yes.
That name makes a big difference. It has a changing quality. It has a transforming grace in it. It has something about it that sets us apart from everything that's in the world in which you and I live. But you and I have got to understand that in the middle of all that, we can't get our goal set on what people are saying. What people say about us is fickle. It's as fickle as it can be. It is just as spiritually misleading as anything we can be attempted by. The hearing of it can poison your soul. The acceptance of it can dull your vision. The receiving of the applause of men in these days can keep you from enjoying the full or outpouring of the spiritual treasure that God wants to put in the lap of the church.
Yes, yes. Glory. My God, my God, my God.
We can't listen to it. We've got to keep on working.
Yeah.
Oh, they say you're thus and so. Great. Work right on, friend.
Yeah.
They say you're thus and so. That's all right. Let's work right on.
Yeah.
They say you're thus and so. Don't tell me what they tell me. I know what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. Say.
Yes.
By the presence of God.
My God, my God.
Don't change my thinking place.
Oh, God.
Don't get me out of the good groove God's put me
in.
Oh,
God. Oh, God.
So beautiful what he has made us and done for us.
God.
Turn around. Say to somebody right now, I'd have never known you unless I had known the Lord.
Oh, God.
How can you sit here like this? How can you sit here in heavenly places like this if it hadn't been for the Lord? How can you sing like you sing? Light of the world. Salt of the earth. Oh, friend. Oh, friend. Oh, friend. That's who we are. That's who we are. Oh, I've got to go on. I've got to go on. My goodness, I've got to go on. I want you to read for me, Brother Timothy. Have you got the book of Hebrews for me there?
I haven't got it.
All right.
23. 24. 12. Come on now, read.
I beseech you.
Yes. Brethren, suffer the word. Where are you?
I'm in Hebrews 13.
Hebrews 12. My Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to find out where we are right now, man. How about you?
All right.
We're going to tell you where we are.
All right, 22.
Hebrews 12, 22, read.
When you're coming to Mount Zion,
come to Mount Zion.
Enter the city of the living God.
The city of the living God.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
An innumerable company of angels.
Company of angels.
To the general assembly.
Enter the firstborn.
Enter the church of the firstborn.
It's all written in heaven.
What was that?
Written in heaven.
Oh,
I got it.
Written in heaven, you said.
All right.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. The firstborn. You have any idea what that means? Lord, have mercy. I thought I knew what it meant, and I got tracing that firstborn in this New Testament. I almost jumped out of my little patent leather shoes. I want you to know that church of the firstborn. I want you to know when you talk about the firstborn in the Bible, Timothy Creel, it's talking about that first one
that's
given the specific honor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Given the birthright.
That's it.
The birthright.
My.
You've come to the heavenly company. You've come to a host of innumerable angels. You've come to the new Jerusalem, to the firstborn. I put my inheritance in you. I put my name in you.
And to God,
and to God,
the judge of all,
and to what else?
And to the Spirit,
and to the Spirit,
a just man
made perfect.
All right,
read on.
And to Jesus.
Oh yes, I like him too.
The mediator
of the new covenant,
and the blood of sprinkling,
that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
All right, hold it now. I want you to get it. The church of the firstborn. That word has many to it.
Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren.
Right.
What does that mean? It means that he came forth from the dead.
Yeah.
Death couldn't hold him.
That's it.
Conquer over death.
Yeah.
Death can't hold this church. Death will never hold this church.
No.
Death can't prevail against the church.
No.
Nothing that happens to the church can stop it.
No.
God didn't put a church in this world to be attached to personalities.
No.
He put a church in this world that was actually founded upon an eternal principle.
Yes.
Whom do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ. That you're the Messiah, the promised one, the purpose, the plan, the aim of God.
Yeah.
You're the firstborn of that assembly. You come from the firstborn from the dead. He was the firstborn of among many brethren. You're the firstborn. I've given you my name, my spirit, my power, and you are that firstborn.
That's it.
My.
If we ever go back on this truth, we'll lose our birthright.
That's it.
We'll lose our birthright.
That's right.
If we ever go back on this truth, close the door and kiss the United Pentecostal Church goodbye.
That's the
truth that makes it what it is.
Right.
Oh, I wish we could understand that. You know, the Bible tells us that if you don't love the truth, If you don't love the truth, it tells you that God will send you strong delusion.
It
didn't say you'll find it. Said God will send it.
He'll send it.
In the book of Isaiah, he told Israel one time, said, I'll choose your delusion.
That's right.
I'll choose it for you. Because when you would not honor me and give me the glory that was due to my name, and would not bring me the kind of sacrifice that was actually given in the sense of your worship to me, but you drew not to me with your lips, and your heart was far from me, then I chose your delusion.
That's it.
I let you go anything to anything you want. I want you to know, friend, and I want to say it clear and loud. In our kind of so-called charismatic world, there is all kinds of things are going. There's all kinds of things being expostulated.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things being propagated.
Yeah.
But there's something about the anchor of the truth.
Oh, yeah.
When you believe the truth and you build on the foundation of the truth, you're not deterred easily. There are a lot of things that are bound up in the religious atmosphere.
No.
You know where you're going.
Hallelujah.
Because you know who you are.
Oh, God. That's it. That's it.
The church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. Oh, friend, I tell you what, I want you to know that we are that beautiful, glorious, wonderful church that Almighty God has put in this earth. I want you to notice we're going somewhere. Where I want you to notice that we are now in a very unique time. Let me describe it to you. In the meantime, get the book of Matthew 25, Brother Creel. I want you to notice we're in a specific time. We're in between the time that is called the beginning of sorrows and what is known as abounding sin. For when sin abounds, or where the love of many wax cold, there is that abounding sin. And there is something about the promiscuity, the permissiveness of our day that is saying, I want to warn the youth of our conference today. The kind of world that we're living in is outside your hotel door. It's right outside your motel door. You can walk down your streets and you can be set upon by the kind of world you live in. If you don't believe me, let me tell you that three of our boys were set upon last night.
My God.
One's in the hospital. I was treated by the hospital because he wandered too far away. You young ladies want to stay close to your place of protection. This is the kind of a world we live in. They don't care for your purity. They don't care for your virginity. They don't care for your virtue. You make them mad because you can stand in the middle of it. We're in between the beginning of sorrows and this abounding permissiveness that's all around us. And in between it, somewhere in this hour, the Lord's going to come. Right, right.
My God.
Where are we? Read that first few verses of Matthew 25. And I want to show you something here that I believe is very important to us as a people.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
10 virgins. I want you to notice they were 10 virgins.
Which took their lamps.
Took their lamps.
And went forth to meet the bridegroom.
Forth to meet the bridegroom.
And 5 of them were wise.
5 were wise.
5 were foolish.
5 were foolish.
They that were foolish took their lamps.
All right.
And took no oil with them.
And the wise did what?
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
All right. Now I want you to stop there and I want you to hear it. 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But there were 10 virgins.
Right.
Notice that.
Right.
Virginity speaks of purity.
Right.
The possibility exists that 5 can be wise.
Yeah.
And 5 can be foolish.
That's it.
Listen carefully.
Mama.
That is a powerful statement from the Lord.
It is.
He tells us that the lamps of the wise were trimmed and filled with oil.
That's it.
And he tells us
the lamps of the foolish had no oil.
But there were still virgins.
Right.
You see, what it tells us also is something amazing. They both slumbered and slept.
That's it.
They both knew something. They knew the bridegroom was coming. They didn't know what hour, but they knew he was coming.
That's it.
In Eastern custom, it wasn't the bridegroom's position or place to be on time. It's a little different than the customs of the West. The bride is the object and the focus of the attention of a marriage in the West. In those days, the bridegroom was the attention. He stayed with his father and his counselors long enough to get the kind of advice to make him a good man.
Yeah.
And when they thought he was ready to be released to marriage, they sent him forth.
Yeah. We've married some too soon.
Right. That's exactly what they did.
True.
But those 10 virgins knew he was coming.
Yes.
But they didn't know what hour he was coming. And 5 slept with their lamps trimmed and filled. You haven't got a right to sleep tonight or tomorrow or any other night or any other week unless you know that you're ready to meet the Lord. Really, you're not. You haven't got a right to sleep. And you have no right to even take any peace or take any ease unless you're ready and prepared for the coming of the Lord. And there was purity there. I want you to know the lamps are a type of the Word of God.
Right.
There are a lot of fundamental groups that are looking for the coming of the Lord. But all they've got is the Word.
Right.
They live on the right side of Calvary and on the wrong side of the resurrection.
Right.
They live on the right side of Calvary and on the wrong side of Pentecost.
Right.
You've still got to have the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. That's it.
And you've got to know where you are.
That's it.
Before you even take any time to slumber and sleep.
That's it.
And we're living in that very specific hour, friend. I want you to notice we're living in that prophetic hour. The time when lamps need to be trimmed and ready and prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are right in that hour. And as we are living in that vital hour of world affairs, never, never, never in all of our history should our lamps burn like they are burning.
Right.
I don't understand many things, but I know something about the operation of God. I've learned to wait on Him.
Oh,
I've learned to be patient about His operation. I've learned, oh God, if it's not Your will today, I'll just wait until tomorrow. If it's not Your plan today, I'll wait till tomorrow. I've learned that. That takes a long time to learn that. In the haste and desire of our souls, we want it all to happen in one little hour of our lifetime. And God has plans and purposes for the church. We heard about the death of David Willoughby. And when I got that news that morning, after Thanksgiving, I thought my heart would pop out of my chest. Why should such a brilliant, outstanding preacher of the gospel be snatched out of this life? Hard to understand. His dear, precious wife has asked that question over and over again. And I've sat there while she's asked. Almost my mind was befuddled by it. But there's something in that book that has told me all things work together for the good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. That's the philosophy of the church. Whether you can believe that or not is another thing.
That's
hard to believe.
That's it.
That's hard to believe that all things work together.
Yes.
It's not hard to believe if you know you're not your own.
That's it.
If you're not your own, everything that happens to you is for the blessing of God.
Yeah.
Unless somehow you have made some plans and choices and had your own little way,
the apostle told us that if we're suffering for our own faults, then we might as well suffer the penalty. But he said if you're suffering wrong for right's mistake, he said, endure it. Endure it. God has a plan in it.
Yes.
I believe that.
I believe it.
Get an attorney to assist us in the gaining of the insurance that was due to David's wife because of his death. The insurance company made it very difficult for us to get that insurance. But during that time, we had to hire that attorney. I wish I could tell you the whole story. But in that period of time, we had to brush shoulders with this man. I would go to Louisiana. We selected him from the state of Louisiana because the accident happened there. We were advised by an attorney to find a tort attorney in that area. And so one of our ministers gave us the name of Henry Sanders. Henry Sanders came to us, worked with us, finally got the consummation of the insurance that was due Elaine Willoughby. And every once in a while, while I'd be in Louisiana, I'd look out in the audience. There'd be Henry Sanders sitting in the audience. Preach down in Louisiana, I'd see Henry Sanders sitting out in the audience.
Yeah.
Every time almost I'd come to that state, Brother Tenney, he'd be sitting out there somewhere in that audience. Was down with the Millions not long ago. On a Sunday night, I saw him sitting out in the audience.
Right.
At the end of the service, he came up and he put his hand on my shoulder. Long, tall man. He said, I was moved tonight. And the tears were running down his face.
Oh,
and just the other day, on my desk, there it was. Just one brief little statement.
Oh, God.
I received the Holy Ghost last night. Signed, Henry Sanders.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I called Brother and Sister Mangan. I said, you baptized somebody this past week by the name of Sanders? They said, yes. I said, who was he? He said, well, he's a claims attorney. I said, he's a tort attorney. He's the man that handled the David Willoughby case. And did he get the Holy Ghost? Said, oh, he got a great blessing in that baptismal power. We never know what God's trying to do in somebody's life. He takes somebody out of his life to reach somebody else. And you never know how it's going to work. But we're the church, and God knows where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows what's happening to us. You can't lose in the church. You can't lose in the church.
My God, my God.
Oh, I wish I had another hour, but I don't. I wish I had another hour, but I don't. I want you to know something today, friend. We are the church of the living God, standing at the threshold of one of the greatest spiritual awakenings that we have ever had. I'm not talking now just about the matter of revival. I'm talking about the great field that God has opened up to us. We can't sit in idleness. Where are we going? We're going to the uttermost parts of the earth. What are we going to do? We're going to preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to walk the streets of our cities and witness. We're going to hand out tracts on every street corner. We're going to tell everybody about the great God that can redeem us. We're not going to sit down in the idleness of our soul and absorb all the good things. We're not going to sit in a church or in a great gathering like this and just shout and glorify the name of God and eat from a bountiful table. That's not what he called us for. He called us to touch the world with our influence, with the message that he's given us. And then he's going to take us home. We're going to that city called the city of God. But in the meantime, we're going to reach this world with the gospel. Come on, let's stand and praise the Lord here today. Let's stand and praise the Lord here today. Oh, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you in the church triumphant? Are you in
the Savior's blood. Oh, come and be baptized into the water. And forever, more. Come on, sit down. Are you in the church, triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Oh, come and be baptized into the body. And forever. Praise the Lord again. Praise God. I wish United Pentecostal Church would do this with me today. I wish we'd accept the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely anew. I wish we'd do it. I wish you'd stay in your heart, preacher friend, state of God. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I'm going to brighten that area with the light of the gospel. I'm going to take everything that God's put within my disposal. And I'm going to use it to extend this church into the far-flung corners of a world that needs to hear the message of life. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to be that strong that God called me to be. In the midst of the time of the nearness of the coming of the Lord, with our direction set toward the New Jerusalem, I want you to know that he wants us to occupy till he comes. And in our occupying to do everything we can to fulfill the great commission that he has given us. We've got to put aside all the pettiness that has sometimes characterized our little feelings. We've got to lay aside our own little political manipulations that don't mean the snap of your finger. And we've got to let the name of the Lord be lifted up on high. We've got to work shoulder to shoulder and heart to heart with a love that we've never had in our life before. And we've got to see that the job gets done. Are you in the church triumphant? Sing now. Are you in the Savior's blood? Oh, come and be baptized to the body. Forever, forever. Sing it again like a victorious church.